it's me, Mario. Woohoo! Welcome to the VOOCast. Let's go.
Hello, it's episode number 174 of the VOOCast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. I'm Stephen, and with me today is James. How are you? What's up?
Hello, I'm good, and nothing is up, so...
I guess...
I'm just here.
I guess that's okay. It could be
it
worse.
yeah.
Josh is here as well. How are you? Are things up with you? Is that an inappropriate question? Please answer.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, but things are also not in the up direction for me either.
Well, we're very downcast, I guess. Well, so we were going to record this on the weekend, but I'm a bully and decided to flake on the podcast. And I'm glad I did, because we have things to talk about now. Because a big video of indie stuff coming to Switch came out last night, and we have all seen it, haven't we? Yes?
James.
Yeah, totally. I watched it 7 times.
Man.
Once for each game.
but yeah, so there's a whole bunch of new indie games that are coming out. I figured we don't really need to talk about all of them, because honestly, I'm not that interested in all of them, and I got that vibe from the rest of you that you... probably weren't going to get all of them. But I figure if we choose one that's super interesting to each of us, then we can at least be interesting and talk about them and, you know, be happy about what they are. So, Josh, have you made a choice? What appealed to you from what you saw in that sizzle reel yesterday?
I heard people talking about Morphe's Law a lot. A lot of my friends are saying we should all get that and play it. And it looks funny, but from what I'm hearing, the performance isn't that great in the Switch version, so... not sure if I want to take the plunge just yet.
I found it kind of interesting. Like, in the trailer, I've never seen a feature 60-ish FPS. Like, I guess at least they're not being, misleading.
Yeah.
But it's like...
I think I knew exactly what to expect when they put that front and center in the trailer.
It's like 60 FPS until you walk out of the spawn room, and then, we'll see what happens. Mm. I mean, I think, isn't it out now? Like, it came out pretty soon after the presentation?
Yeah. It was just like a couple of hours after the presentation, I think, yeah.
Okay. Is it paid or is it like a free-to-play
$30.
I haven't really looked into it enough.
Yeah, it's $30 on the Switch.
Okay. That's not too bad, but I guess...
It's
still enough money. It's enough that you'd want to know that you have other people that are going to be playing it before you sort of throw the money at it,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, for sure. The other one that looked... well, it doesn't look good. I already know it's good because I played it. But I'm seeing Terraria, however it's pronounced. That'll be good on the Switch. I put heaps of time into that on PC.
Yeah, I saw that come up and I was kind of surprised. How was that not on Switch? It kind of seems... I guess it was before the Switch's time, so it never really...
I think it's on, like, pretty much everything else already. Like, it was even on the 3DS and the Wii U.
Was it on
Vita? It was going to come eventually. Yeah, it was.
So clearly...
actually, I'm not sure
it
if it was
on
the
everything.
Wii U. It was definitely on the 3DS, but... even the Vita, like, it's on pretty much everything, so it was kind of a foregone conclusion, I think.
Yeah, I imagine if they ported it to everything else, it'd kind of be not too much of an intensive process to port it to the Switch. It's probably, I don't know, their experience on mobile versions probably helped, given the similarity between the platforms, but that's a nice thing, I guess. I saw your name light up, James, but I don't know if you were just breathing heavily or had something to say.
No, I'm... It looks good.
Cool. Did you think anything in particular looked good of the highlights that you are aware of?
Definitely watched.
While I was watching it several times. Nightcall looks pretty cool. Like, I'm a pretty big sucker for old school feeling adventure games, and it looks kind of like right up my alley, a neo-noir kind of detective thriller set in Paris. Like, you can't really go wrong.
It looked really interesting, just the... it is extremely noir vibe, I guess, the whole sort of dark grey hues to everything, and I assume a story full of heartbreak and sadness and all the fun stuff. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, like the art, like, I'm not really sure about the art, but, like, I don't know, if it's moody and it's got the atmosphere, I'd probably give it a go for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Cool. I don't know, I'm going to be extremely predictable. I really, really liked the look of Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom. I've kind of not been keeping up with exactly what it was. My understanding back when it got announced was, like, was around the same time that the Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap remake got announced from memory, and so I was like, what is this weird other Wonder Boy game being made by a different developer? Is this like a weird, like, I don't know, knockoff or something? So I looked into it a little bit more recently, and it turns out it's like a spiritual successor to the series made by a different developer and kind of, I don't know, has a lot of inspiration from the Dragon's Trap in the fact that you can transform into different animals and stuff, and they all have their different abilities, and it's very, it's got Wonder Boy sound effects, so it makes me very nostalgic for that video game. It's, yeah, it looks really, really cool. I'm kind of keen for it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, no disrespect to anyone making these games, but I'm kind of at this phase where I see platformers and I just kind of skip through them.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just can't muster up enthusiasm for them.
It's weird. I'm kind of the same with a lot of them, but at the same time, like, I played through and finished Blaster Master Zero and Dragon's Trap, and this has sort of got my eye just because of, I guess, they're all nostalgia bait games that I'm falling for hook, line, and sinker, but I probably would never want to play, I don't know, a New Super Mario Bros. Wii or New Super Bros. U on Switch as much as that's rumored to be happening.
I just wish, like just said, like, no disrespect to anybody in particular, but I don't, like, I'm a little bit over, like, 2D platformers as well, but, like, I really want us to start moving towards, like, the crappy PS1 3D kind of games.
Yeah.
Like, making like, games like that.
I love that art style.
As indie games. There's, like, one on the Switch already called Vaccine, and it's, like, meant to be a throwback to Resident Evil, but it's absolutely awful. I reviewed it for Vox back in the day, but, like, it just made me think, like, there's so many games these days that could try to do something like that, and they don't have to look good.
Yeah, like, I guess kind of.
I saw one on Twitter, I can't remember what it was called, but someone was specifically aiming for that art style with their indie game. And, like, they had all the tacky-looking UI with all the funny bubble block letters all over the screen. And
wow.
The funny...
Like, I just reckon, like, you making that would take less effort than doing a detailed sprite, or, like...
It probably would, yeah.
Or especially with, like, the Monster Boy stuff, that's incredibly sort of detailed animation, and that works for what it is, but it would be, I imagine, a bit less effort to make something purposely janky PS1 style.
I feel like you can get away with the sprites more, but I think if you ship something with PS1 graphics, like, all the forums would be flipping out, like, oh my god! Are they actually doing something this outdated and ugly in 2018? Why am I paying
I don't know, like, for what this? You mean. Was that a thing for pixel art, though, or is that just...
It kind of was, but it was more a vocal minority.
Yeah.
But then people kind of realize that, like, they like the art style and there's a lot of work put into it. But I don't think they kind of appreciate the work put into purposely low-poly models.
Yeah, I guess
like a game like Fez, like, that's pixels, but that's, like, very, like, visually it's just such a beautiful game.
Yeah, it sort of takes the old aesthetic without the limitations, I guess.
I guess there's no way to make a PS1 looking game truly beautiful, you know.
I think something with kind of like the old Final Fantasy 7 in that style, you know, those really funny looking,
oh, the little like chibi knobby people. Hand people. Yeah.
I think you could do something cool with that.
Someone do it. If you're listening to the podcast,
oh, actually,
make a game.
Oh, there's this artist I just followed on Twitter where they do these models, but they kind of texture them with pixel textures.
Oh, yeah, that sort of demake sort of.
And they
look.
Make like Zoids and that, and all these anime characters, and it's kind of like this really cool retro-y style. I can't remember what the handle is.
I think, like, the style of game that was sort of around that time as far as, you know, platformers and stuff, because I guess that's what's the default, you know, if you're going to make a throwback, it's a platformer. But we could learn so much from how platformers kind of died and have had not really much of a rebirth. But, like, well, there's a lot that we've learned between 1994, 5, whenever we're talking about, and now that could make that style of PS1-ish platformer nostalgic, but also... I don't know, not have the really garbagey things like, I don't know, game overs and bad saves, and bad checkpoints, all that sort of stuff that we've kind of left in the past could make it interesting to either bring that back so people can be like, yeah, old school challenge, lol, or on the other side of the coin, just make a game that's enjoyable by today's standards. It just kind of looks like a throwback. I think it could
and
work.
And get all that extra processing power. You're not using the graphics to try and do some cool AI stuff or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like, just the amount that you've got spare, you just could do, I don't know, Metal Gear Solid-esque graphics, but have it have 2018 AI. That'd be wild.
And you don't have to sell, like, 10 billion copies to break even.
Oh, yeah.
And then complain that you only sold 3 million.
Well, isn't that the reality? But I don't know how this will sell, but I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen now that THQ Nordic have acquired the Time Splitters and Second Sight franchises, apparently. They haven't said anything about what this is actually going to mean, but given what THQ Nordic generally do with old franchises, I'm fully expecting it to
what
just be
what they've just done on the Switch.
Yeah, just like a full remake, or just here's the old game, you can play it on a new system. Do we think it's going to be like a full-on... Well, if they do something, a full-on remake or just a, you know, here's the game as it was kind of thing?
No. So I think with this, like, you kind of just have to look at to the past to see what THQ Nordic has done in terms of, like, say, what they've done with Red Faction. I feel like they've done something else with another, like, Darksiders.
Yeah.
I think they're going, like, the remaster the old ones, and then if they do well enough, like, start a new one.
Yeah.
I don't see them doing a new Time Splitters straight away.
Yeah, you've got to build up the brand attachment because it's been out of the spotlight for so long.
Yeah, and like the thing is as well, a lot of the work was done for Homefront: The Revolution.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if you guys remember, like they put a 4K ready, like the first two levels of Time Splitters 2 into Homefront, because the people who made that game were actually the people who made the original Time Splitters, more or less. So a lot of the work for Time Splitters 2 is already done. So I think you'll definitely get a remaster of some sort, even if it's just a digital-only one. But given how, like, well they've done with Darksiders and Saints Row... oh, sorry, not Saints Row, Red Faction.
Well, they are doing Saints Row now. Like, they literally just announced Saints Row 3 for the Switch.
For Switch?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, only that Switch. Was, like, earlier today, I think, of all times.
Like an hour
ago. I think like the team has already always had a plan for Time Splitters 4, and it was just like EA didn't want to do it, and then Crytek obviously took over that studio, and then they were not the most, you know, I don't
not
know
the best stewards of the franchise, I guess.
So like I think like there's like really 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 good chance that we'll get like a new Time Splitters game or something, but they kind of the brand has to prove itself in the market again, and they're going to try and do that with like a remaster of 2 and 3. They can leave one like to die somewhere, like it was all that's not good, but like 2 and 3 are just like really solid games, like whether you want to play them co-op or single player or even multiplayer. Like, I don't know, I think it's exciting. Like, I really thought this franchise was done, and now, you know, it has a chance.
Yeah, like, I totally don't think it has a chance to be, I don't know, a big, huge deal, at least with, like, remasters of the old games. But I think it could appeal to, A, the people that kind of want that GoldenEye sort of multiplayer experience, but a little bit more modern. Time Splitters kind of was that, but with a less serious sort of veneer, I guess. It was a lot sillier and cool. But, like, they could also... potentially, I don't know if this is doable or not, but it would be amazing if they had any sort of online functionality as well. I know the third game did on Xbox, but like, if I could play Times
and PS2.
Oh, so everything but GameCube, RIP me. But yeah, like if I could play through co-op with either, you know, probably just one other person, but like in a perfect world, three other people somehow, that would be a kind of a dream scenario for me. I'd love to do that. And then, like, the general multiplayer was always ridiculously good fun with four people, but you could do that with your own TV and over the internet with bots and monkeys.
Even, like,
and stuff.
Like, the map maker stuff was pretty nuts.
Yeah, true.
I don't know if you remember, but I remember I had, like, an extra memory card that just had Time Splitters maps on it, and I filled it with just recreations of GoldenEye levels, because that's all I could do.
Oh, wow. Dedication. I think I created just really, really shitty boxes that were just like cubes with rooms on the edge with different lights, because I was like, well, man, I can change the lights. This is amazing. I didn't recreate
like
any good maps. Legit. Like,
it's so sad. It's like really like I don't like the, you know, shit on a publisher because they're that publisher. But like David Doak did like an interview recently, and he said that, you know, EA wanted to take out a lot of the stuff that was in Time Splitters 3, like the map maker and all that. They just, as a publisher, they thought it just wasn't worthwhile to bother putting it all in, but they obviously stuck to their guns and put it out. But like, it's just kind of crazy.
to think. Yeah, that seems wild to me. Like,
they didn't want more features?
Yeah, and I guess the whole, you know, creating your own content was less of a thing back then, but you look at it with the perspective of 2018, like, imagine if Nintendo just thought Mario Maker wasn't worth doing. That thing was a phenomenon for a while, and like people like making stuff and sharing it, and now that we have the internet, imagine if you could have like repositories of all these cool levels people have made in Time Splitters Future Perfect on the Nintendo Switch. That'd be so good.
I hope it happens. I reckon it will, but like, you know, Second Sight is also, we're probably paying dust to Second Sight, yeah, but that was also quite
please,
good.
Please tell me a bit about Second Sight. Literally all I know about it is it was on the on an ad on the back of a Hyper magazine once, and I've literally never seen anything more of it than that.
It was, like, did you ever play it, Josh?
Nope.
Oh, what? I feel so, like,
so cultured.
Yeah. So it's like, so basically, like, you wake up in this, like, research facility, and you've got, like, all of these telekinetic abilities. It's like a third-person game.
Okay.
But with it's got that kind of, like, cartoony look for time, like, the times that it's had, where their, like, legs are big, but their torsos are small.
So, like, stylized.
Yeah, but it had a really cool story. There's a really cool, like, obviously, I feel like that game's probably coming out, so I'm not going to ruin it. But there's an amazing twist, I thought, like, really well written. Just the like, you know, interplay between gunfights and psychic powers. Like, you could possess people, or you could throw them around, or throw objects in the world around. It was pretty cool for the time.
Okay.
I'm not sure how it would play today, but with some tinkering, I'm sure it would be okay. But that was a solely single-player game.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was going to ask. So, absolutely no multiplayer. It was just purely a campaign, and that's about it.
I mean, if there is, I forgot about it, so it's probably not enough. Good, but I'm pretty sure there isn't.
I mean, it sounds like it could be fun. Throwing just random shit at your friends might be cool, but who knows? It clearly wasn't that memorable. Well, that's that. I think the next part we might have a chat about, we're a little bit late on, because, you know, time. But Smash Bros. Ultimate Direct happened in the last couple of weeks, and they just sort of threw out announcement after announcement. So, once again, I don't want to go through all of them, but I think we could pick one or two each that we are most excited about and just talk about why they're so interesting. And I'm going to go first because I want to bags one. I am so, so happy that they've enabled the stage hazards toggle. Like,
oh my god, yes.
Every time the game on Wii U got patched, I was like, okay, there's going to be a stage hazards toggle, yeah? And it didn't ever happen. It was so frustrating for me because before Wii U came out, I sort of had this little renaissance with Smash Bros. Brawl with the Project M mod. And that, one of the weird offshoots of that had, they sort of recreated levels based on the ones that had been revealed for the Wii U version, but well before the Wii U version came out. And so one of my favorite levels was the Mega Man level, where it had all the moving platforms and everything, but it didn't have the Yellow Devil because I assume they couldn't really implement that. And it was just so much fun to play that level. And then I got to the Wii U version and I just had to either play that game level in Omega mode or just not use it because Yellow Devil just, like, completely throws off any sense of flow you might have had in that entire match. It's just like, hey, everyone, stop what you're doing. Got to shoot the yellow thing or not, and just kind of get annoyed by it moving side to side. Like, getting rid of that is going to make this game just immensely better than Wii U, and I can't wait for this very specific feature.
Yeah, from Brawl onwards, some of the stages just went so overboard with the hazards. Like, they'd have, platforms that'll come in from the sides, then a monster that'll show up, then the monster will light half the stage on fire, which means you can't use it. And it's like, oh, yeah, like, I just kind of want to fight here. You're kind of ruining it.
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not an Omega mode only, Final Destination only, unless I'm, like, in a really super competitive mood with, you know, very competitive friends or something. But most of the time I'm okay, and even sort of prefer to have levels that have moving platforms or just interesting architecture or something. But when it's just stuff that's that, it interrupts it to that extent. Like, there was the one you might have been talking about is the Pokemon one, where there's, like, giant beams will just take up half the level and stuff. It's just, you just have to stop what you're doing and deal with that for a minute before you can actually keep the match going. And I just hated it so much. But What do you have any thoughts on the stage hazards, James? I know that you are a fan of...
You know how I feel about the stage.
I know. That's why I want you to tell our wonderful audience.
Just I just want every level to be lava all the time. I don't know. I appreciate the option, I guess, but it's never been... I like the distractions. I don't know. I've always been a super nonchalant Smash Bros. Player. I've never been super serious about it. I feel like you guys might be, which is fine.
Yeah, we're hardcore. Everyone plays. I'm taking either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dirty casual. I don't know. I appreciate that, when, say, for example, the Yellow Devil is the one that I always hear bad things about, when he appears. It is a bit annoying, but, I don't know. After that, it's just business as usual, you know? But it's cool. I think more options is never a bad thing.
I'm glad ultimately. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was announced that you also didn't think was a bad thing? Any other standouts?
Well, of course. I thought the whole director was really strong.
Except Chrome.
It's
weird.
We know how I feel about Fire Emblem.
I kind of agree with you in that. I remember the response to the E3 one was it just was a long stretch of patch notes, and this is kind of mostly the same thing, but because it wasn't E3, no one seemed to mind. It was kind of interesting to see the different reaction just based on,
expectations. No, I think this one was more content-based. E3, I can understand why people didn't like it, even though I was oh my god, they've brought all these characters back. Oh yes, they've made all these awesome changes. I love this. For people who weren't sort of into the nitty-gritty of the gameplay, it's just patch notes and it sounds really boring. But here they're oh yeah, we've got new characters. We've got some fun new trailers for them. Here's some cool things you can do with the game. Here's how much music we've got. So it's kind of more,
I think, tangible. It was a really, really, really strong showing. The thing that I like the most, which I was a little bit surprised about, is the stages. There's so many. I know,
yes.
I think at the from all the E3 stuff, someone already worked out there was 80 stages, but there's at least 100 now, I think, confirmed. Probably more.
Yeah, I think they said during it. Yeah, it was 103, but over 300 if you count variations on each stage.
Yeah.
So it's it's nuts.
Hopefully the Great Cave Offensive is not in the game at all.
I think that's
exactly. Yeah. I'll agree. That wasn't great.
Yeah, but that's probably the most impressive thing to me. I like Castlevania, and I think that's really cool too. But I don't know. I've always wanted, I said it from the very start on one of the podcasts I've been on. I don't give a crap about the competitive stuff, which sounds bad, but I just don't. Just chuck everything you can in there, everything, cram it full. Whatever you've done in previous games, make it happen. And they did. And
it's
that's amazing. And
it's
there's probably going to be even
how
more.
This
you know?
Game is.
Yeah.
How's it all going to fit on? I hope it doesn't need a download. That would be disappointing.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I don't think Nintendo would do that with their big premiere holiday game.
You'd hope not.
Yeah. You never know. Even the Metal Gear stuff, all of that coming back.
Oh, yes.
It genuinely kind of surprises me. I guess Konami's just, kind of has to get that goodwill back.
Yeah, they're just so back on board with this. It's they've done pretty well with Bomberman. It's not a massive tier game, but they've been supporting that in a way that's sort of gotten some goodwill. And here's a little bit more here. They're doing little bits and pieces to try and, dispel the fuck Konami hashtag, I guess.
They've got more than two songs in the game, which is more than we can say for some companies. Square Enix.
Who? Oh, okay. I was who are we upset with?
Literally two songs.
Yeah,
from the entire Final Fantasy series.
And doesn't Castlevania have 20 in this game?
30
something like that.
Yeah, crazy. In terms of Smash though, do you guys think that's it now for characters?
Nope.
I
don't think there'll be as many as some people are expecting. Some people are oh yeah, there's still 8 more characters. Nope. I think there'll be maybe 2 original characters. And then a bunch of echoes or clones or whatever we're calling them now.
Yeah, I was kind of honestly surprised by this direct, by the amount of characters they announced. I was kind of ready for, we've brought everyone back. It's okay, cool, it's the ultimate one. It's got everything from before, and I thought that might be kind of it. But they just kind of kept going, which I really didn't expect that at all, even though some of them are Echo fighters. It's still, you know, you've got a couple of brand new fighters, a few Echoes, and yeah, it just blew me away a little bit.
And the actual characters they're picking as well, like, everyone was asking for Ridley and K. Rool for ages, and now we finally got them. And they've added an extra third-party character, which means all those complex negotiations they've got to do. So it's not like they've, yeah, like you said, they've said, oh, you've put all our effort into bringing everything back, have a couple of scraps. They've gone above and beyond, and it's just ridiculous how much is going to be in this game.
Hmm. Well, we haven't gone to your first exciting thing, Josh. What's what caught your eye?
Well, mine probably would have been the stage hazard toggle, but aside from that, definitely.
See, I'm glad I went first.
More to this.
So happy
so
I went
much
first.
More to this game.
No,
but yeah, I love K. Rool, and his trailer was fun as well.
Oh, holy
and
crap!
I was just
that
watching
was so
this
good.
Video that Nintendo uploaded. Yeah,
so
and Nintendo
good.
Just uploaded this video showing Snake fighting K. Rool, and his moveset looks great. Just got all these awesome combos. All these goofy attacks, like the cannonball. He's got like a body slam. He throws his crown around and it acts as an item. So if he throws it and he doesn't catch it, it stays on the stage and people can chuck it away from him so he can't attack with it. Looks like
fun. I think the revelation of K. Rool is probably the most fun I've had watching a revelation announcement video in living memory, quite honestly. Like, I was in a weird situation. I was like, I was watching it and had like James and another friend on like Discord chat at the same time and were just like reacting in real time. But this other friend was like about half a minute behind us. So like they were just listening to James and I screech about things. And he was like, what is this? So once I knew what was happening, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to listen intently just to see every little nuanced reaction that comes out of the other friend when just the amount of flip-flopping and like twists they did to the plot was amazing. And it was so much fun. I can't believe how much of an emotional roller coaster that reveal was.
Yeah, I was like, oh yes, they've done K. Rool. Actually, no, first, because they added Simon from Castlevania, and then the start of the trailer is sort of like onto the TV, and they're flipping through all the scenes of the games. I thought, oh my god, they're doing it. It's Captain N! They're doing Captain N!
Here he is, channel flipping
so then
through
they
all the
zoom
Nintendo
out,
franchises.
And they zoom out and it's DK, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it could like... be K. Rool, that could be awesome! And then they do the DDD thing. It's like,
yes.
Oh no, it's Dixie Kong and he's just going to be a clone. That kind of sucks. And then K. Rool shows up and it's like, oh no, Lanky. It is K. Rool!
Oh, should have been Lanky Kong instead.
Oh no.
Sure.
It was just good, you know?
It was fun.
I know.
That's my final official assessment.
It was
even the clones, like, it's funny because you obviously, years ago, we kind of were a bit like, oh, clones. But now that they're Echo Fighters, you're kind of like, wow. Like, Dark Samus looks cool because, like, she or it, I think it's it officially, like, floats and just behaves differently, even though that the character is quite similar, you know?
Like, they have enough
like
of a visual flavor.
That they're not real characters, I guess, and you can switch them off if you don't want them.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me more okay with them. It's not like they're saying, oh yeah, Dark Pit's a real character and he stands toe-to-toe with Mario, Pikachu, and Sonic the Hedgehog. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we figured we could just do this with the resources we had. It's a bit of fun if you want it, otherwise you don't. And it's just kind of that presentation of it that makes it swallowable.
It is really weird to me that, like I totally get it because I feel the same way, but when I think about how I reacted to Lucina, where they went to every effort to say, this is Marth, but different in a very, very slight way, everyone, including me, was like, man, it sort of sucks to have, like, a metaphorical character slot taken up by a character that's not really different enough to justify it, even though they went to great lengths to say, no, there's no such thing. We're not limited in characters. We can put in as many as we want. We just wanted this in here. But, like, calling it an Echo Fighter, exactly the same as you, it feels somehow better, and I don't really know why, but it makes me feel better about it.
I think it's hilarious that, like, half of the Fire Emblem cast of this game is a clone of one character.
Yep, and you can turn them all off, which is, I guess, a nice thing for James.
Best feature, turn off Fire Emblem.
Yeah, why isn't that
just
a toggle?
Cancel Fire Emblem, that's the toggle.
I would trade a Stage Hazard toggle for Fire Emblem toggle, to be honest.
Oh, man. I think the one other... I'm going to swap the feature that I'm interested in because I can do that. I'm the host. I'm really excited for the way that they've changed up the selection of music tracks, which I never expected to be so excited about. Like, they've made... The biggest change they made was that instead of tracks being locked to a particular level that you can... You know, you could always customize which music came up in a level, but now they are, like, franchise-specific, so you can choose any Zelda music for any Zelda level, Metroid, Mario, whatever you want to do. It's just, it's such a small thing, but being able to have, you know, this whole big wide library of music and you never have to feel like this level has a worse set of music than another Zelda level. It's just, I'm so happy about it. I can't wait to just sit for 3 hours and decide the goodness of the music and the rarity of music tracks when I play each level. It's going to be good fun. Am I the only one that does that?
Maybe. No, the music's fun. Like, there's just
I think I made all the Donkey Kong levels on the old games just play Sticker Brush Symphony, and that's it.
A man of taste.
Yes. like I said, I just think everything is really cool. Like, I don't think they can do much more to disappoint me at this point, which I find hard to say about Nintendo definitively.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, really good. Well done, Nintendo.
Good on you, Nintendo.
Now you just need to make online not a mess, and we're good.
Yeah, that's going
to
be the real test. Like, because this is the big game that's going to make online break or not break, I guess. And the fact that I don't, you know, live in close vicinity to people that I used to play Smash with, it's like, I really need this online to work, Nintendo. Please, please sort your shit out.
You could just, like, quit and move back.
I mean, I could, but, you know, I like having a job.
Yeah, I think that killed the Wii U version for me. Like, just the total lack of being able to play with other people.
Yeah, like...
It was pretty trash, yeah, from memory. I think,
like,
Stephen and I, did we try to do it, like, a year ago? And it was not very good.
No, like, when it first came out, I think, even on 3DS, like, you could have a game that worked, but if basically all of us had to be in Perth within a few kilometers of each other for it to work, and you'd still kind of feel the unresponsiveness, it still would never feel anything like a local game, which I don't know, I guess it's more complex than, say, a Street Fighter, but the comparison between, like, a other regular fighting game and this, like, I can play online across the country and it feels, to my, you know, to my controller, it feels like I'm playing locally with people, but Smash would just always felt floaty and you could never really have any precision. So I need them to get on that, because I won't really have anyone to play Smash with otherwise.
Oh.
Well, and did we have any other things we wanted to bring up? I have one other small thought, but I want to give someone else an opportunity before I keep going on.
No, not really. Are we going to talk about the mystery green mode?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that, actually. What do you think the mystery green mode is? I have not even been...
Skyrim.
It's the secret VR mode. That's what they uncovered.
I think, like, there's the only thing that, like, I believe, like, I've seen so much stuff on the net about this already.
Yeah.
But the only thing I believe is it is definitely, like, a single-player mode of some sort, which to me is crazy, because when they were like, yeah, we're bringing everything back and don't expect many newcomers and stuff, that to me was like, yeah, because all the work's going into just making it the most content-filled game. I just assumed single-player was done now.
Yeah, I can see what you mean, like, when you have, say, like... A fighting game makes that same kind of claim. It's usually like a Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 where they just... It's a whole bunch of extra characters for multiplayer. It doesn't really have a single player extra stuff. And I kind of thought the same thing given the way they tried to temper expectations.
But then, like, doesn't... I could be wrong, but is it true that Subspace Emissary Sakurai didn't like the way that played out? Like, because I didn't really follow much of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but...
He said he didn't like that the cutscenes were uploaded to YouTube because people just watched them there instead of seeing them as a reward for playing the game. And I think he was disappointed...
Most of video gaming now.
Yeah.
And I think he was disappointed in the way that he tried presenting the plot, because people were really confused. And he ended up doing a blog post afterwards that basically said, okay, so here's all the stuff that happened before the game started that was in the backstory that I didn't really tell anyone about and people didn't seem to pick up. That led to this happening and that happening. And so here's what everyone's motivation was during the plot. and it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, like, I don't know, you shouldn't really need an explainer after the fact, but I think, I didn't really pay much attention to the plot of that mode. Like, it was just, oh, cool, Sonic's coming from space, awesome, that's all I really cared about.
I just remember, like, a big tattooed man that was blue.
Yeah.
And he had wings, and he was a bad guy.
The big bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think story will work in Smash, even though people keep asking for one. Because, I mean, like, just try to imagine a conversation between Mario, Link, Samus, Pikachu, and Pit, or, like, the really talkative anime characters. It doesn't work.
No.
Like, half of the cast doesn't even talk.
I don't so really want or
awkward subspace style stuff again, and it just does not work.
It could be amazing if they had, like, all these Fire Emblem people just being anime melodramatic all over the place, and then you just have Mario come along who's like, oh, da 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 da, and it would just be a very nice juxtaposition. Yes.
I think if they're going to do something like that,
the Fire Emblem characters could just die.
Maybe that too. Maybe that'll be the big reveal. Maybe that's what the green mode is. It's the Fire Emblem has finished mode.
But I think something kind of like a story mode could work if they sort of, rather than having one overarching story, they do what they've done with the reveal trailers already. And they have sort of like a little bite-sized scenario, kind of like event mode, but with a bit more context, I guess.
Yeah, like an expanded story event.
Hey, rules come to ruin someone's party. Now all these characters are jumping in. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
That, just quickly, like, this is a little bit off topic, but, like, can we just... The quality of the CG, like, from the Castlevania and Luigi one to the K. Rool one at the end, like, I just want them to make a movie of some
It's
sort.
Ridiculous, like...
It's crazy good. Like, it's to be just thrown away just for, like, a trailer. Like, it's nuts. Just and it's just so clever, you know, like, tying Luigi with all the supernatural stuff from Luigi's Mansion into, like, that Castlevania setting and stuff. I don't know. I just really liked that.
That was such a good trailer.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. They just... I don't know. They've managed to meld everything together. Same thing with the K. Rool, like, how they, you know, did the whole, lol, actually, it's King Dedede. It's like... They're just so good at mashing it all together and having it somehow make sense. I don't know how they do it. They're actual wizards. But yeah, that's Smash, unless we have any final thoughts on that one.
No more Fire Emblem.
Well,
nah.
That's the title of this episode.
Just quickly, though. It's a bit sad how, like, there's amiibos confirmed for all the characters except for Daisy. Like, they haven't really talked about Daisy.
Is it
Daisy
sad?
Amiibo, have they? Poor Daisy.
Paying her dust.
That's all I have to add. Sorry.
I'm glad. Poor Daisy, RIP Fire Emblem. And I guess that might make it the end of this episode of the Vookcast. So, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a review on iTunes. It'll be very much appreciated. But otherwise, where can we find you on the internet, James?
The same place, as always.
Well, you haven't been on it a little... Oh.
No. Yeah, I haven't. I've just been busy. People are just scheming to not have me on. So,
on podcasts.
I'm on Twitter as always, so it's @jams, @JAMZ. Hit me up with your favorite Fire Emblem character.
please do that.
Just let me know. Send me some fan art. I'll take all of it.
I'm just going to monitor your mentions, because if that happens, I'll be obscenely happy. Where can we find you, Josh?
You can't. I'm off the grid. I'm hiding from Fire Emblem and Xenoblade fans after saying I don't want their characters in Smash.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they're pretty rabid.
You can find me on Twitter @MarioBones, Mario_Bones, double underscores because I'm cool. And you can also check out my Amiibo stuff at monamiibo.com.
Cool. And you can find me on all the bits @StephenImpson. I'll have links for us all in the show notes. But yeah, until next time, have a good time with whatever you do. Be happy and see you later, I guess. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.